بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In Surah Fatiha, there's so much to be learnt, so much to be acquired. In our service to Allah Ta'ala, our duty to Him, then we learn Tawheed fil Ibadat. We learn that our worship, our Ibadat is directed to Him alone. So in matters of Ibadat, there will be no partner with Allah Ta'ala, nobody will be sharing with Allah Ta'ala in matters pertaining to Ibadat. So this is the first type of Tawheed that we learn in Surah Fatiha. Then we learn Tawheed fil Isti'anat. Seeking help, then there again we learn Tawheed. We ask for assistance from Allah Ta'ala alone. Now, this some people find complicating, that in this world every person needs some type of assistance. To see his things working, he needs assistance, right? So when he takes some type of help from things, then how do you understand Tawheed fil Isti'anat? You are ill, so you need the help of a doctor, don't you? You are hungry, so you need food and drink as a help and a support to cure your hunger, right? You are thirsty, you need the help of water to satisfy your thirst. So now, how do you understand this? So there's two aspects to this isti'anat, assistance, taking assistance, there's two aspects. Now let us look at the case of a doctor, right? So one is the one that treats and the other is the one that heals, right? So the doctor can treat you. Right, he can treat you, administer some type of medication, some type of procedures, or do this, take this. Right, so that is just a procedure. Take this medication. So the medication also is just a procedure. Procedure because we, in this world, we are addicted to procedures. Everything comes, it comes from the veneer of some material. It doesn't come directly. So you want satisfaction, so that satisfaction comes in some form. And should, like you want a partner, so that partner will come in a form. You won't get that satisfaction straight. Different types of satisfaction, you won't get it coming straight. It will come with some form, some shape, so that assistance will come. Man is of marriageable age, so he needs a wife. So that wife comes in a shape. You want some shelter, right? It's a cold day, you want some shelter, you get a home. So a home is an assistance of Allah Ta'ala, but that's coming in a certain form. So you won't just get the help of Allah Ta'ala without a form. There'll be a form, through that form and shape, you will get the help of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Why? Because we are used to seeing things in a form and in shape. Right? So anything for that matter in this world here, as long as we are around, then we are used to, we are accustomed to form and shape. Al-Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali is advising some murid of his that wants to come and settle in Makkah Mukarramah. The right thing when you come to settle in Makkah Mukarramah is not to bring anything with you. Because you're coming to the king of all kings, you're coming to his home, then you will be his guest. You will be his guest, eating at his dastarkhan, and to take your own food and place it onto the dastarkhan of the host is disrespect. Right? You're not supposed to be getting anything. But then he concludes, he says, but since we have become addicted to asbab, right? We have become addicted to asbabs, to means, to forms, shapes. We are addicted to that. So we won't rule that off. We will respect and make consideration for the attachment that you have got with asbab. You're attached, right? If you are in Makkah Mukarramah, for example, and there's no finance, you see in your credit card nothing, pocket nothing, how do you feel? But the cash itself doesn't bring satisfaction. The cash itself, you're hungry, can it sort your hunger out? If you need a home or you need a hotel, accommodation, the cash in itself, can you do anything? Can't do it. It's just a means. Right? But now we have become addicted to these type of means. So we will make a consideration for that, for your addiction. See the word is used. For the addiction, you will make a consideration, all right? Take a home, take some cash, etc., etc. Because why? Because to break away from an addiction is very, very difficult. You're addicted to it now. To break away from an addiction, is it easy? Very easy, very difficult to break away from an addiction. They said, because we have got an addiction to all these things here, to break away from addictions is a difficult thing. So therefore, we'll make a consideration, you take these things along with you, bring these things along with you, so that yahan aakar ke pareshan na ho, that you come here and you don't become perturbed, you don't become easy, you don't find yourself in a ghabrat situation. This verse, I've been speaking about it sometimes back also. مَا دُعَاءُ الْكَافِرِينَ إِلَّا فِي ضَلَالَ. So it comes 2-3 places in the Quran Sharif. But now, when you understand, try to understand it in context, and you get the proper understanding. You just take an ayat in isolation and want to learn it, understand it, then maybe you don't get the true meaning. The gist of the verse is saying that, the gist of it, right, is that the prayer, the dua of a kafir is a waste of time. He doesn't get anything out of it. But now, look at the two verses that this verse comes in, right? لِلَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِهِ لَا يَسْتَجِيبُونَ لَهُمْ بِشَيْءٍ إِلَّا كَبَاسِتِ كَفَّيْهِ إِلَى الْمَاءِ لِيَبْلُوَ فَاهُ وَمَا هُوَ بِبَالِغِهِ. Right. Call on deities besides Allah Ta'ala, gods besides Allah Ta'ala. Then it's like a person stretching his hands, بَاسِتِ إِلَى الْمَاءِ, right? See, water is in Spingo Beach, right? By the beach. I'm stretching my hands like this. So, kuch haath mein aayega, and it will come. So that's the hal, that's the position of those people that call on deities besides Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala says, وَمَا دُعَاءُ الْكَافِرِينَ إِلَّا فِي ضَلَالٍ. Them worshipping deities besides Allah Ta'ala is a waste of time. Like I stretch my hand here and I want that water to come into my hands. Will it ever come? So like that, this is a waste of time. That's also a waste of time. See how it works. وَمَا دُعَاءُ الْكَافِرِينَ إِلَّا فِي ضَلَالٍ. Now you just said, no, the dua, the prayer of a kafir is a waste of time. There's no essence in it. Then you will not get the exact and precise meaning. Because now look, in one verse Allah says, وَإِن مِّن نِعْمَةٍ. So, favors are coming from مِنَ اللَّهِ, right? Favors min ni'matin min Allah. Every favor comes from Allah. Summa idha massakum ad-dur fa ilayhi taj'arun. Allah starts the verse, don't call anyone besides Allah. La tattakhidhu ilahayn. Don't take two gods. Don't take multiple gods. Summa idha massakum ad-dur fa ilayhi taj'arun. So when any type of calamity, problem comes, then you call and you cry to him. Ilayhi tajarun. Tajarun means to groan, to cry, right? So you groan, you cry to Allah Ta'ala, you appeal to Allah Ta'ala. Summa idha kashafat, after you are appealing to Allah Ta'ala, summa idha kashafat ankum dur. So then when you cry to him, then he removes the difficulty. That means when that kafir calls on Allah Ta'ala for a problem that struck him, Allah Ta'ala listened to him, right? See that? When the kafir called to Allah Ta'ala, for a problem that struck him, then Allah Ta'ala had listened to him, right? But you see, in that first place, we were calling to a deity besides Allah Ta'ala. So that dua, that prayer, that is a waste of time. You understood that one? And you understood this one here? Here, now he's calling on Allah Ta'ala himself. So Allah Ta'ala is listening to his dua. Now again, the same verse comes again in the 25th sipara. إِذْ يَتَحَاجُّونَ فِي النَّارِ فَيَقُولُ الدُّعَفَاءُ لِلَّذِينَ اسْتَكْبَرُوا إِنَّا كُنَّا لَكُمْ تَبَعًا فَهَلْ أَنْتُمْ مُهُنُونَ عَنَّا نَصِيبًا مِنَ النَّارِ. So, in the world, you have two classes of people, right? One is the affluent, influential, right? And one, the ordinary, simple public, right? So you'll always have the affluent, those that influence decisions, etc. Right? So you have this influential class. In any crowd, any country, any place, you have the influential class, right? Right. So one is that influential class, they have that influence because of their might, because of wealth, so they have some influence, right? Generally, in community, the influence is because of one of three things. Sometimes it's because of power. You have the power in your hand, so you have influence, right? Second is because of wealth. You have wealth, so you have influence, right? So the influence comes either because of power, like any government, it has power, so it has influence, right? And the second reason for having influence is wealth, right? You have so much of wealth, so you can influence decisions. Now, that's another problem where people use the influence rightly or incorrectly. Now, I got the influence. I'm, for example, the main contributor to the masjid. So then I influence the decisions. So if anybody opposes me, so right, go do it yourself then. So you carry on. So why? Because we understand that he's got the power because he got wealth. So the second thing that influence is wealth, right? And the third thing that influences is learning. What? Learning. So the educated, be it dini-wise or be it dunya-wise, but he's a man of learning. So he's a third influential person. So one is power, one is wealth, and one is learning. Right? Now, this is very important. Why it's important? إِذَا أَرَدْنَا أَن نُهْلِكَ قَرْيَةً أَمَرْنَا مُتْرَفِيهَا. That when we want to destroy a people, a populace, what we do? We first speak to the influential people. People with a lot of wealth. People given to a lot of wealth and comfort, we speak to them. So Allah Ta'ala addresses them. How he addresses them? Via the Anbiya, he will address them. فَفَسَقُوا فِيهَا. But these people, in spite of getting the command of Allah Ta'ala, they break the command of Allah Ta'ala. So the Anbiya's message will go to leaders first, people that influence, make decisions. So the Anbiya will speak to them. Because they got the influence. When they got the influence, if they use the influence rightly, the public goes right. But if they misuse the influence, it goes off. So therefore the Anbiya address them, make it a point to address them. So that tomorrow they don't have any excuse before Allah Ta'ala that we did speak to you. But then you didn't respond, right? So now the duty of those that have got cash, wealth, power, or learning becomes twofold. Their duty becomes magnified. Now your duty and your responsibility is not single, it's double fold. See in the verse of the Quran, Allah speaks to the Aswaja Mutaharat. مَنْ يَأْتِ مِنْكُنَّ بِفَاحِشَةٍ مُبَيِّنَةٍ يُضَعَفْ لَهَا الْعَذَابُ ضِعْفَيْنِ وَمَنْ يَكْنُتْ مِنْكُنَّ وَيَعْمَلْ صَالِحًا نُؤْتِهَا أَجْرَهَا مَرَّتَيْنِ. So the Azwaj al-Mutahharat are being addressed. That if there's a wrong, then your punishment will be double. But if you do good also, then to your reward will be doubled. See? Now, your reward is doubled and the consequence of your action also is doubled. Why? Because you have the knowledge, you have the understanding, in spite of you having the understanding, then too you perpetrate the wrong, then the consequence for your wrong will be doubled. Right way or wrong way. So this verse brings you to this conclusion that proportionate to your knowledge must be the fear. Because if you're going to do anything, but you're going to get doubled. The ordinary person, he's going to catch it for his wrong. But if you want to perpetrate the wrong, then your punishment is going to be doubled. See, in another place, Allah Pak speaks to the Ahl al-Kitab, right? He says, "Lastum ala shay'in hatta tuqimu at-Tawrat wal-Injil." Who is speaking to the ulama? "Lastum ala shay'in hatta tuqimu at-Tawrat wal-Injil wa ma unzila ilaykum min rabbikum." When he's speaking to the ulama, he says, "You have got no basis until you establish the Torah, practice of tuqimu at-Tawrat wal-Injil ma unzila ilaykum min rabbikum." And you also apply and you obey all the commands that have been revealed. Everything you must. Lastum ala shay. You've got no basis to stand. So this is what Ibn Abbas used to say. Akhwafu ayatin fi kitabillah. It's the most frightening verse of the Quran. What? Lastum ala shay. You've got no basis to stand. Until you don't keep these things absolutely straight, you've got no basis. So you understand, as your ilm increases, then the level of adherence also must proportionately grow. Understanding has grown, knowledge has grown. That person doesn't have it. When he doesn't have it, all right, you don't say that ignorance of the law is an excuse. You're driving on the road, and why are you contravening the law? Because I don't know it. The police says, "No, boy, you got a problem here. You're not supposed to be driving. Why are you driving then? Don't know the law, why are you driving?" So ignorance to the law is not an excuse. But in the event, say for example, a retired police officer, traffic officer, retired, and he contravened the law, then the law would say, "You caused it because you know the law. You were controlling the traffic, and then you contravened the law, so you are really in for trouble." So the problem is doubled, see, it's magnified because of your knowledge. So therefore, the knowledge requires proportionate amount of khashiyat. Knowledge and khashiyat. Knowledge and khashiyat. The word of knowledge. Therefore, Azwaj al-Mutahharat are being spoken to. What's the difference between the Azwaj al-Mutahharat and other people? Everybody have the association with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But what's the unique thing? They get to see the wahi coming. They get to see the wahi coming all the time. وَذْكُرْنَ مَا يُتْلَى فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. So it's coming all the time. The Quran is coming in, Hadith is coming in, is being discussed all the time. This is the whole subject that is discussed in the house of Islam, Quran, Hadith. That's what's being discussed. So when you're seeing it being witnessed, you're seeing it coming down, and then to you contravene, you break it, then either you dhaaf or you practice it, yu'tiha ajraha marratain. The reward is doubled. So then this verse brings you to this conclusion that those that have knowledge, have understanding. Understanding doesn't have to be that you are a Mawlana. Some people say, he's a Mawlana. This refers to only a Mawlana. It doesn't refer to Mawlana only. There was one Maududi, and then he made Tawbah. On the wrong. How you get a Salafi and all that? So you used to get it a Maududi. His son was with us. So this Maududi, he also made Tawbah and he came right. So they're a little bit radicals. They think a little bit freely, radicals. This radical thinking is dangerous. One is controlled thinking, understand, supervised, and one is radical thinking. So the radical thinkers, they just speak radical, and then they confuse the people. They confuse people. So one of these people here, he's got to, in contact with Mufti Sahab Rahmatullah Alayh, and he says to Mufti Sahab Rahmatullah Alayh, the problem is that people that lived for 13 years with Gangohi Sahab Rahmatullah Alayh, people don't consider them as ulama. They don't count them as ulama. So Allah had given Mustafa Rahmat a very great wit. Wit was very great. Very quick, he could come to conclusions, but very quick, swift. You know, like computer, just press the button, gives you the answer like that. So he was like, Allah gave it like that. So yeah, these people of Gango, they didn't have that appreciation. You're talking of a person 13 years. There was a woman that was with him 65 years, but nobody treated her as alim. Referring to his wife, right? So 13 years, 65 years she pulled with him, but yet nobody counted her as an alima. And there was a youngster that was with him for almost 45, 50 years. Nobody counted him as an alim also, his son. Right. So you see now, to get these people online now, if you just listen to the first tape, 13 years you stayed with such a great alim, but nobody counts you as an alim. Now you start getting confused. Right. Now you get the whole picture, now you get confused. Now you don't get the confusion. So this is their work, it's to confuse. Therefore, Mustab says, I heard this directly from Mawlana Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, when this Mawludism started off. So we saw the latter end of it. But it started off at the time of Mawlana Muhammad Ilyas Sahib. So in the 70s, we saw the end of it. Because Mawludi died in the 80s, and we saw the thing was on the height. So when the thing just started off, Mustab says, I heard it directly from Mawlana Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah Ali's impression was, bari talbis ki cheez hai. This is a very, very misleading thing. It's very, very misleading. What? It's extremely misleading. Right. The next statement may be a little bit of an answer to the present Jamaat status quo, right? Maybe a little bit of an answer. I won't give the tafsir of it. You make the tafsir yourself, right? And then Muhammad Ilyas Sahib says, or bare baro ke phisalne ka mazanna hai, bare bare ulama ke phisalne ka mazanna hai. So that tafsir you make yourself, right? There is the fear that great ulama also can be misled in this thing. See the first statement and the second statement. Bare baro ka, bare ulama ka phisalne ka mazanna hai, right? And then the third statement he makes, he says, this thing here, how it sounds, it sounds like a veneer, you know, moss, the example that is given of moss. So, if, for example, Suri is left at a certain place, right? So, after a week or 2 weeks, you'll find a green, nice, smooth layer of moss there. How tempting, how good that thing looks. But just put your hand inside there, what happens? So he says, that's the example. He says, this I heard it directly from Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. But I heard the same statement from the Buzruq of his time, but not directly, indirectly. Whether it was Muhammad Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali or some other, but it could have been Muhammad Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. He didn't give the name of the second saintly person, but he heard it indirectly. He heard it directly. See? So now, when in this type of a situation, then how do you work out what is the right? How do you work out that what is the right? Because now that is the burning question. Now what do we do? See, for every situation, every contingency, Allah Ta'ala creates certain type of procedures and certain solutions. Right? For the average alim and for the average person, a simple procedure. See, you have a markaz, a head, a center, right? So, as India stands, so because all these problems are coming up in India, right? So, India got about three great centers of learning. So, if they ever had a problem, then they would refer to these three great centers of learning. Right? Or let us call it two, right? Two great centers of learning from history immemorial, right? From the past, if you had a problem, then you would refer to them. And then you will conform to that standard. One was Dioban, One was Mazahirul Ulum. Now, in this issue here, both the ulama on Mazahir and Dioban all confirmed, all agreed. This is off, this is not right. Look at the Jamaat issue, they said this is not right. So for the average person, the average alim, if he can't, doesn't have the equipment to go and study the whole thing, what is the nitty-gritty, why this, why. So there's such a contingency of ulama here and here, so such a large group, and all the heads of the whole of India, you're talking of now, they have taken a certain stance. Now to move away from that stance, that's going to be a little bit dangerous, quite dangerous. Because they have taken a stance, and you can't say that they are Muslim. Such a huge, like you say, tawatur, right? Something has come to you with a chain of reporters that you can't break. It's so sound, so sound, that it's unimaginable that such a huge crowd of people could connive on a lie. That's called tawatur. So this is like that level of tawatur, that such a huge contingency of ulama kiram from this side, from that side, all agreed on one thing. Now to say now they were misled and they were misinformed, as though you're saying that they are not reliable people. Some people can just come and mislead them. So the authority, the authenticity of this ulama kiram is being flawed, if you say that. You can't say that they were misinformed and misled or whatever. You can't say that. So the safety of the ummah will be by what they are saying, you will do it. Right? After all, when any person has a problem, then who does he refer to? He refers to some reputable alim, right? Now this is now as though the final point of all this ulama. We got a problem, we will refer to the same place. Pakistan got a problem, they will refer here. Bangladesh got a problem, they will refer to the same point, right? So this has got that type of markaziyat, right? And then to move from this now, that's going to be dangerous. So we are talking of this Maududism and we branched off the Jamaat, and how can people then move away? How can they drift away? In the meanwhile, it is not for the normal and the average person to make this a subject of discussion. It's not for him. Because many things that are discussed here is beyond your understanding. So understand your limits and live within your limits. Right? Yesterday's mail, someone asking, give me all the reasons for the Taraweeh Namaz being Faraz, or the Taraweeh Namaz being Sunnat Muqaddah, where it's established. Give me all the proofs, give me everything. So this type of people will say, all right, for a person to make this type of a question, that means that he's got a sound knowledge, he's got sound knowledge of the Quran and Hadith. So then we will just refer him to kitabs then. Look at Ilaw Sunan, look at Bazul Majhud, look at this kitab here, Bahru Raig, look at Fathul Bari, look at all the answers there. Then you don't give them a detailed answer. You refer them to the kitab because as though he's saying that I'm of that level that I can look into dalail, I can look into proofs. So if you can look into proofs, then these are the kitabs that have got this. Then look at it, look at the references. Otherwise, for everything, he'll ask you, hey, what's the proof for this? What? Now you're going to research that one thing, it'll take you 2 months. Dusra sab kaam atak jayega. And the problem is that we don't know if that person that is asking, does he have that level of understanding? If he doesn't have that level of understanding, and you are giving it to him, Mishkat is like throwing your pearls at an ass, or a swine. Kya fayda? He doesn't know, he doesn't appreciate that thing. So we're talking of Tawheed fil isti'anat, right? And I showed you one ayat of the Quran Sharif. Now look at another ayat of the Quran Sharif again. Same, وَمَا دُعَاءُ الْكَافِرِينَ إِلَّا فِي ضَلَالٍ. See now, they're in Jahannam now. فَيَقُولُ الدُّعَفَاءُ لِلَّذِينَ اسْتَكْبَرُوا. So each one, when you're in a predicament, when you're in the soup, then you want to throw the blame onto the next person. He wants to throw the blame onto you, and he wants to throw the blame. But the right thing, by from now, we learn to admit our guilt. Even if it is, say, a minuscule guilt on your side, millimeter guilt on your side. If you learn to admit guilt, then you can move very well. Now, after, before Zohar, I spoke about Mulli Ismail, that communication wasn't relayed. But alhamdulillah, Allah gave him the grace. Then after Zikr stayed, he said, no, I made a mistake, and the work was accomplished. Now, what happened to me after that is my thought was lingering, is this work accomplished or not? Work accomplished or not? You see, so my mind was in suspense. So that lingering thought has gone, right? And the second benefit that I found in this is that I can speak to him now straight. I can say, you know, this is not done. Because of the response, I explained the mistake, although it was in public, but he came and apologized that I slipped up, I didn't bring it to your attention. So the next time if there's a mistake, can I bring it to his attention? I will have the heart to bring it to his attention. But now if I tell him one thing, he tell me 10 stories then. So the better thing now, I don't tell you anything. Because you are a sheikh yourself now, so why must I explain this to you? But now, he had that tawfiq, Allah Pak blessed him, and he brought it to my attention, and he asked for an apology. My mind is clear, and the passages are clear. You see, in this, so this is what is required. That passage must be absolutely clear, must be absolute clarity. Then you take the maximum benefit. But now, if I feel I'm going to tell him something, woh mujhe das sunayega, toh, there's no clarity. I leave this person here, just write him off, let him carry on, let you carry on. That's what happens. So it's very dangerous, very, very dangerous. I explained the story once about Alamgir, rahmatullah, he won't take a salary from the public treasury. These people are brains. You see, for him to prepare this thing, it must be a terrific, tremendous brain he must have. What type of a shoulder he must have had, the intelligence he must have had to get this prepared. So he was taking a remuneration from writing Quran Sharif. He writes Quran Sharif and sells that, and that's how he used to run his affairs. So there's a sitting there, and he's writing the Quran Sharif. So one of the persons that is seated, he says, there's a mistake here. So without any hesitation, he pulls the page out and writes on another page. Because in that zamana now, there isn't any way to go and rub the thing and erase the thing, so you have to pull the whole page out and start off the whole page again. So anything that, any time, anyway, that whole sitting had ended. When it ended, so one person comes and tells him, brother, you knew that this man was talking nonsense. There's no mistake in this. What you wrote was perfect. So why did you have to remove the page and write on a new page? Why? He's a king, undivided India. Undivided means India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, Ceylon, and Afghan. So you can imagine what a great king this person must have been. So now look at the beauty of his answer. The answer he gives, he says, you see, had I objected to him that no, the correction is incorrect, the next time had I really slipped, he wouldn't have had the heart to correct me. Right? He wouldn't have had the heart to correct me. Right? Now my passages with him are open. If I do make a mistake, I stumble, I know there's so many people to correct me. They'll find it easy to correct me because I am accepting the mistake. I'm accepting correction. Thereafter, I will see now what he's saying is right or not right, and then I will do it. But to him, it appears that I accepted the mistake. So he'll find it easy to communicate. I will find it easy that I know there's so many people that is checking on me. So it's difficult for me to go off. You know, people with big minds, this is how they think. Al-Mu'ad Thanvi Sahib, rahmatullah alayhi, when he was reading kitabs, like writing kitab, Bis-i-Zawar, etc., Bawadirun, Nawadir, etc. So he used to have a section, Tarjihur Rajih. If there's any flaws, any person brought it up, the Mu'ad would look into it. If the mistake was right, he'll print it out. Okay, this was what was printed first, and this person brought the correction, this is right, and this is off. So the man's got broad shoulders, he can do it. But the man's got a peanut brain. One small little thing you tell him, this baat sunni paregi. Rather, don't tell him anything. Uska islaat ho gaya. His roads are all blocked off now, class. He can't move. He may think that he's moving, but he can't move. So the importance of keeping the passages absolutely open and clear. It may be at times, our elders say, it may be at times, that the sheikh may not be right. In an administrative capacity, he may not be saying the right thing. But your luck is even then to listen to him. It's an administrative thing, right? So it doesn't relate to the Sharia. It remains to relates to an administrative thing. But your luck is, your fortune is just listen to him, carry on. So you'll find the openness, the clarity in your communication with him. So we're talking of one verse and we talk about the second verse. Now, the ruling class and the following, they have a problem, right? They're throwing the blame. He's throwing the blame on this side. That person is throwing the blame on this side. Inna kunna lakum taba'an, falantum mughnuna anna naseeban minan nar. We're following you all the time. Can't you work out a plan for us now? A little bit of, hey, move this punishment out. Can't you do this for us? قَالَ الَّذِينَ اسْتَكْبَرُوا إِنَّا كُلٌّ فِيهَا. So the leading class, the proud, the leading class, they will say, hey, we're all in the soup. إِنَّا كُلٌّ فِيهَا. Allah has already decided, إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ حَكَمَ بَيْنَ الْعِبَادِ. See, so the following days, they refer to the leaders. The leaders say, we're all in the same predicament. I can't do you anything, you can't do me anything. I can't help you, you can't help me. Now when they offer that, they forget that chapter has ended, so now they try at a second level for help. See, you know, they're trying for help at every level. One level was the leaders that brought them to this predicament. They tried to them, didn't work out. Now, at the second level, what they do? لِخَزَنَةِ جَهَنَّمَ اُوْ رَبَّكُمْ. Now the keepers of Jahannam, people that are in charge of Jahannam, now they're referring to them. Bye. Udulana yukhaffif anna yawman min al-adhab. So they talking to the keepers of Jahannam, make dua for us. Allah Ta'ala lightens adab little bit, even little bit, you know. Just one day, just ek din bhi hamara chutkara ho jaye. One day we can have a picnic, at least one day, man. So they fail with the leaders, now they're going to the keepers. Udulana yukhaffif anna yawman min al-adhab. Can you imagine now what frustration they're talking with? Udulana rabbaka yukhaffif anna yawman min al-adhab. Just one day. So these keepers will ask them, awalam taku ta'atikum rusulukum bil bayyinat. But your rasuls, they came, they presented all the proofs and details to you, isn't it? Clear, it was pretty clear before you. Right and wrong was clear, wasn't it clear to you? So qalu bala, said yes. They came and presented everything clearly. Everything was presented clearly. So then, qalu bala, qalu fadu, wa ma du'aul. Says, now, that, if you want, you can go and plead. Then Allah Pak says, he rounds the whole discussion. Ma du'aul kafirina illa fi dalal. Okay, your du'a now, when you already sentenced to Jahannam, now you're making du'a, is waste of time. See, like I said, that first, ma du'aul kafirina illa fi dalal. You hear, and the water is that side, and you stretch your hand, you want water to come into your hand. Waste of time, right? You're already sentenced to Jahannam, right? And when you're sentenced to Jahannam, now you're asking for some clemency and some type of relief. So Allah was saying, مَا دُعَاوُ الْكَافِرِينَ إِلَّا فِي ظَلَالٍ. Now, if you read this verse in isolation, you will not get the right meaning. If you look at the whole verse, then you get the right meaning. Sahan Puri Sahib Rahmatullah used to warn even the muftis of his time, it's over 100 years ago. He says, one problem is that when you come across a masala, a new situation, some istifta has come in, you just look at one juziya and there you're passing judgment. The right thing is to look at the whole chapter, look at the context here, there, ma lahu ma ali. After you read the whole context, now you issue the answer, inshallah you'll be guided. But you just look at the answer in isolation, and you just write it, you can make a mistake, you can stumble. So you also understand that some people have to be dedicated to this type of work, iftar, etc. Now you say, hey, Mufti Sahib is not going to Jamaat now. Right? Now, if they were going to Jamaat, right? Now, I ask you now, can they be thinking composed, relaxed, with a full composure? Can they think? Because now they think, hey, they're writing an answer, say, tomorrow we're going to Jamaat now, all the preparations are made or not, and who have to call, which people, so now, see the mind. So the mind needs to be totally relaxed, be able to see the whole thing nicely, you're relaxed, you think about it, or how does it apply, then you're writing it, then inshallah you'll be guided. So one jamaat has to be just taking a rest a little bit. Otherwise the whole crowd will go off. Allah Akbar.